So today's lesson is going to be next steps in your walk with Jesus. So we've been going through Acts for several weeks here, but this lesson here, I think is really applicable to what you guys are about to experience, what I'm experiencing. This is really kind of a new transition for Saul. We talked about the conversion last week when Saul became a Christian. And this is his first kind of next steps in his walk with Jesus. Now he's a Christian. Now he's going to the town that he's called to go into. This is kind of Paul's next steps as he begins his faith journey. You're going to see here in this faith journey that Paul has, he'll eventually become Paul, he's going to meet some key people. And those key people that Paul meets in his life are going to influence him greatly and help him become the person that God has called him to be. And so I want you guys to think about in your life today, who do you have in your circle of influence? And if you read the book I gave you to talk about that, the circle of influence you have are those you hang out with the most, those you spend the most time with, those you invest the most energy into. Those are the ones closest in your circle of influence. And the thing is, you'll influence them, but they'll also influence you as well. And so what kind of influence are you making on those people closest to you? Are you leading them closer to Christ, or are you leading them farther away? Are they influencing you in a negative way or in a positive way? And then if you go outside your immediate circle of influence, you have people that are acquaintances, people that maybe you see just once or twice a year, maybe distant family, things like that. You know, what kind of influence are you leaving on them? And we're going to talk about a guy today with the name of Ananias. And Ananias, you're going to see here the influence he has on Saul's life basically jumpstarts his missionary work into Christianity. And there's some key things Ananias does to be a good influence, a good role model, a good discipler of Saul. And so I want you guys to look at this today. And it's in Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 22. Can I actually see one of your Bibles real quick? I live out in the car. Thank you, buddy. I'll bring it right back. All right, so Acts chapter 9, if you start in verse 10, it says, "There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias, here I am, Lord,' he replied. 'Get up and go to the street called Straight,' and the Lord said to him, 'To the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight.'" And if you guys remember last week, when Saul looked upon the risen Jesus, it blinded him, basically. And so he's blind right now. He's been blind for 3 days. Okay? So that's why it says he may regain his sight, because Saul currently is blind. And then it says, "Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, "Go. For this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to the Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" So catch this. It says, "Ananias went and entered the house. He placed his hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" I want you to catch what happens next. This is really important. We'll break this down. At once, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. Immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were astounded and said, "Isn't this the man in Jerusalem who is casting havoc for those who call on his name, and came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief priests?" But Saul grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. So as we kind of dive into this today, I want you guys to think about something.
Thank you, buddy.
So Ananias is called by God to go and put your hands upon Saul and basically, you know, tell him that I'm here from the Lord, and his sight's going to be regained. Now, why that's kind of dangerous. The why that would be scary is, if you guys remember from last week and the few weeks before, Saul's a really dangerous man. He was the main guy out there persecuting Christians. He was out there bringing Christians to jail. He had orders from the chief priest to do this. A lot of the Christians that he was bringing in were ending up killed for their faith. And so when God tells Ananias, I want you to go meet Saul and put your hands upon him and basically tell him you're from the Lord, you know, think about like what Ananias is thinking. Like, I want to trust you, God, but if Saul's not really a changed man, I'm about to die. Or I'm about to get thrown in prison for this. And so this is a really dangerous task that God is calling him to. But there's some important things I want you guys to think about here. Sometimes in our life, God's going to call us to talk to people or minister to people that are very different than us, that it may be very uncomfortable. And so, like, when God calls Ananias to minister to Saul, Saul has probably lived in a completely different lifestyle than Ananias had. You know, Saul is well-respected by the chief priest. He's in there with the government. You know, he's out there persecuting Christians up until this point. You know, Ananias is probably living a lifestyle very different than that. And so this will not be somebody that Ananias will just regularly come in contact and talk to, especially somebody he thinks might, you know, take him to prison. But God says, no, you're going to trust me. Go talk to him. This guy's my chosen vessel. If you do this, I promise you I'm going to be with you. It's going to go well. So I want you guys to think about your life. One of the challenges I will leave you guys with is, as you grow in your faith, as you grow in your relationship with Jesus, think about those in your circle of influence. Think about those you're closest to. And then think about those as well, even outside that circle of influence, maybe at school, that look very different than you, that maybe your little lifestyle very contrary to the one you live. And if you think, well, I can never go talk to that person, I can never go witness to them, you know, pray to God to open your heart. Open your heart to who he wants you to minister to. Because a lot of times when God calls us to minister to somebody, the person is not somebody we necessarily feel comfortable talking to. But as we go up there and talk to them, God gives us the words. He gives us the strength and the wisdom on what to say. And if that person ends up accepting Christ, you have no idea who they may become. Many pastors today, if you ask them 20 years ago, before they became a pastor, what they wanted to do with their life, probably almost all of them would say they would never want to be a pastor. Because they were living lifestyles very contrary to the Bible. They were involved in things and had their mindset on things that were totally against God's plan. But somebody shared the gospel with them. Somebody looked past all that and said, you know what? I know God still has a plan for this person. I know Jesus still died for this person. I know he still cares for them. So I'm still going to share the gospel with them. And lo and behold, maybe it was that day. Maybe it was a year later. Maybe the person doesn't even know. But the person that shared the gospel with them, that person they shared with is accepted Christ. And now they're a pastor of a church leading hundreds of thousands of other people to the Lord. So you never know who that next big missionary, that big pastor, that big disciple, the big evangelist is going to be until you share with other people. And the thing is, you may never see that on earth. You know, a lot of times when you share the gospel with somebody, they might not accept it that same day. They may go home and think about it. Maybe a year later, they pick up a Bible and they're like, you know what, I remember that conversation I had with Bradley or with Edgar, and I'm going to start reading this. And they give their life to Christ. You may never know about it. When you get to heaven one day, you will know about that. And the reward you get in heaven for doing that will far outweigh anything you can get on earth. So I want you guys to think about this. Think about people at school that maybe are involved in, you know, clubs or gangs, or that maybe, you know, they're prone to violent people. Maybe they've gotten in trouble, maybe they get in a lot of fights. It's not somebody you necessarily want to approach. Think about people in Nashville you see on the streets that are homeless. You know, many times we automatically assume that, you know, they're involved in drugs or they're involved in lifestyles that are dangerous. And maybe they are. And some of them probably are, some of them aren't. And I want you to think about those people. Many times as Christians, we try to sugarcoat the gospel and say, well, God would never call me to go do something dangerous. God would never put me in harm's way. So if it's dangerous to go talk to this person, then obviously it's not from God. The reality, though, is that's a lie. That's not in the Bible. See, God calls Ananias to go talk to Saul. You know, Ananias has no idea, really, how that conversation is going to go. You know, he's trying to trust God, but also in your earthly perspective, you're probably thinking, man, this could go south really quick. And if you think about the Bible, almost all the disciples of Jesus died for their faith. They were murdered. And or they became martyrs. And so I want you to think about that comment there, that God would never put you in harm's way. Unfortunately, that's a lie that's been going around for a long time in the church, and it's not true. God never promises to not put you in harm's way. He promises that as He calls you to do really difficult, challenging, and hard things, He'll be with you through it all. That's the promise. God says that as He's called you to do things that are challenging, as He calls you outside your comfort zone, as He calls you maybe into dangerous areas to share the gospel, He promises that no matter what you go through on earth, He'll be with you through it all. Even if the worst case scenario happens and you die here on earth for sharing the gospel, or when you get to heaven one day, you're going to be rewarded for that for all eternity. And you'll spend eternity with Him. So even if the worst thing happens to you here on earth, you'll be in the best place ever right afterwards. And so I want you guys to think about that today. Are you going to pass off if God calls you to interact with somebody that seems challenging, seems dangerous, is unfamiliar with you? Are you going to trust in God and go and do that? I put here that if you're not willing to do anything dangerous for the gospel, do you really believe the gospel? I want you to think about this. I want you guys to think about this thought. If you're not willing to do anything dangerous or risky for the gospel, do you believe it? Here's what I mean by that. Jesus believes so much in God's plan that He knew if He died on the cross, God was going to bring Him back from the dead 3 days later. And He knew that He had to go and die on the cross, because He knew that by doing that, He was going to save humanity from their sins, right? Many times in the Bible, people like Paul, they go into very dangerous areas because they know that God's going to be with them through that, and God has a plan for it in that moment. You know, as they go and share the gospel in those areas, even if they get thrown in prison or beaten or whatever it looks like, you know, God has a plan for good somewhere in there. And they have faith in that. And so they're going to go and do whatever God calls them to do. So I want you guys to think about your faith today. Where is your faith at in God? That if God were to call you to go do something that seems challenging, outside your comfort zone, or dangerous, do you have the faith to be like Ananias and say, okay, I'm going to go do it. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't agree with it. Maybe it's not my plan, but I'm going to trust your plan better than mine. I'm going to go do it. Or are you going to say, no, you know, that can't be from God, or make excuses? And we're good at that. We're really good at humans making excuses. Do you pass off what God calls you to do because it's uncomfortable? Or do you do it because it's your calling? Think about this. Christianity is about calling, not comfort. Okay, so think about this. If God called you to be a Christian and called you just to live a kind of cushy life that's comfortable, maybe you just Netflix and chill every day, or you know, you go out and play some sports and then kick it back at the house afterwards, and maybe you talk to people here and there, but that's pretty much it. If all of us did that, how many people are really going to come to Christ? Not a whole lot of people. Because there are people all across this community here, all across the world in very dangerous countries that are dying and going to hell because people aren't sharing the gospel with them. And it's because a lot of times, as America, we're really bad at this, is we value our comfort and all of our luxuries and all the things we have here over anything else. And we're like, well, it stinks for those people. Or, you know, my neighbor over there, he doesn't know Christ. It's like, well, it kind of sucks for him, but you know, I'm good to go, so I'm just going to go watch Netflix today and chill. But the thing is, Christianity is not a religion. It's about you. It's only about doing what God's calling you to do. And so He's calling you out of a life of comfort into a life of calling. And through that, God's going to bless you. He's going to give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. He's going to give you a love. He's going to give you a joy. Even in the midst of terrible circumstances, Paul was one of those joyful people in the Bible. And he went through some of the worst suffering because he knew that everything he was doing was for God. And that whether he saw it on earth or in heaven, it was going to be for good. And the reward he got in heaven for all eternity would far outweigh anything here on earth. The only thing he knew that he was going to expand God's kingdom, and that was the most important thing. So I challenge you to listen closely to God's prompting in your life to minister to and interact with certain people. And this is the last thing I want to leave you guys with, is the concept of discipleship and mentorship. Okay, I want you guys to think about if somebody, when you learn how to drive a car, some of you guys probably are still learning. but if you're taught how to drive a car, typically the first lesson or two doesn't go fantastic because you're new to it. It takes a little bit. I know when I first drove a car, my dad had to go and drive around the parking lot, a big church parking lot, for a long time. And that was even nerve-wracking for me a little bit. And then I eventually got on like some back roads. They really weren't very popular with cars at all. You know, I was nervous. Even going 35, 40 miles an hour, it was kind of scary. And obviously over time, but now I'm 27 years old and have driven for many, many years. I can drive on Interstate Nashville and D5. Some of that's still pretty scary too. But I want you guys to think about if you're starting out driving. It's pretty uncomfortable. It's scary. And somebody teaches you how to do that. But if somebody taught you how to drive in one day, gave you all the rundowns of it, said, here's what to do, here's what not to do, and then said, all right, Victoria, Gracie, you go ahead and you get on the road, you do good. And they send you on the Interstate 40, that's probably going to be a real disaster.
Yep, I see that.
That you're going to crash and burn real quick.
Yep.
Because even though maybe you know a good bit or you know what it means to drive, there's still things you're going to have to learn and adjust to. Obstacles are going to come your way. Challenges are going to come your way you didn't expect. And you need somebody there that's going to constantly guide you and help you. And that's why a lot of times, you know, when you become 15, 16, 17, and your parents start helping you or your guardians help you, they spend several months helping you drive. And that's why it's a good idea to ride with somebody, especially if you're under 18, so you can have that person there kind of helping you if trouble comes your way. But I want you guys to think about that context in the gospel. That's how a lot of Christians treat the gospel, is they'll share the gospel with somebody. They'll eventually get outside the comfort zone and start sharing the gospel. But then once that person accepts Christ, they're like, all right, well, they're good to go, and go on to the next person. But think about yourself. And some of you here may even be near Christians. If you accept the gospel, you don't know the whole Bible. You understand what it means to be a Christian, and you've decided to give your life to Jesus, but you don't know the whole Bible. And life's going to smack you in the face someday. You're going to go through obstacles. You're going to go through trials. We all are. And so when those trials come along, you need somebody there to guide you back to what God's Word said. Guide you back to how to respond in those moments. And that's why it's important to have a mentor, to have somebody that's discipling you. I heard it said, this is a really true statement, that the most successful people in life are those that have somebody mentoring them, and they're also mentoring somebody else. Because they're constantly getting poured into, and they're pouring out to somebody else as well. And if we all live that way, think about how more successful the world would be. And people that are older, that have been through things, that have learned from some mistakes they've made, that are maybe more mature in the faith, they've been a Christian for many years, they know the Bible a little bit better than maybe we do, they're pouring out to us. They're teaching us. They're mentoring us. They're helping us. And then as you're learning more of the Bible, you're pouring into new believers, people that just became Christians, and your friends and your family. And if we all did that, it would really help us become stronger, more united Christians. So I want you guys to think about this. In this chapter, it says that after Ananias went and talked to Saul, and the scales fell from his eyes, what did Saul do? You might catch what Saul did. You might catch the next thing he did. So he got to be baptized, and he also stayed with the disciples for a long time, except for some time, basically. And so he stayed with Ananias for a long time. Now, again, this is Saul, it becomes Paul, that writes almost all of the New Testament. And he spends those instrumental first probably few weeks to months with Ananias after he's become a Christian and the other disciples. And during that time, they're pouring into Saul. They're teaching him more of God's word. As he's going through trials, as he's probably getting pushed back by the people, they're encouraging him, they're praying for him, they're supporting him. And then and Paul, during this time, is starting to go out and preach to others. And eventually, when he leaves Ananias and the disciples in this Damascus area, he becomes one of the greatest missionaries of all time. And then think about, now here, catch this. Then Paul does the same thing with Timothy later on. And Timothy writes books in the Bible. And he becomes one of the greatest disciples and missionaries. So Paul took that concept. People were pouring into Paul that were stronger in their faith. And then as Paul became stronger in his faith, he began pouring out to other people as well. And this is actually how the first church grew so much. It's because it wasn't just about, hey, I'm going to teach you the gospel, and then you go about your way. It was, I'm going to share the gospel with people, and as the people start accepting Christ, we're going to now do life together. We're going to start doing life together. We're going to start supporting one another, encouraging one another, and pouring into one another. So what you guys, I'm going to leave you guys with this. As you guys go out in your life, a lot of you guys are getting older. A lot of you guys have been Christians for a while. Start giving back to other people. You know, it's great if you can find a mentor for yourself. That's huge and very instrumental. But if you don't have that right now, at least get that mentor to somebody else. Ask God to put that person in your heart that you really need to share the gospel with. Or the person that may be a new believer. And find ways you can pour into them. Find ways you can help them in their new walk with Christ. You know, maybe just you talk once a week and pray for each other. Maybe you should get together every now and then and just share your struggles and just talk through that. I have a friend that we do this pretty regularly. We talk every week about, you know, what's going on in our life, what's going on in his life, and, you know, how can we be praying for one another, supporting one another. And knowing that I have that is a big deal. Obviously, I'm married too, so Grace is a good support. She's a great support, really, in that area. But even outside of family, I know you guys aren't married. I'm trying to think of a different example. I also have friends that do this, and it's very instrumental. And so I want you guys to think about who is your person that God put in your heart to pour into. Because you guys may not think you're ready, but you are. A lot of you guys are ready to be that next disciple, that next mentor. And if you start doing this, I think you guys will reap the rewards from that. So let me go ahead and pause this here. And so